Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and I welcome you to this week's podcast. I'm joined once again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. And as many of you know, this is a very, very busy time leading up to homecoming. I'm going to start off, first of all, by just outlining some of the things that will be going on at homecoming, a final wrap-up for you, if you will, of the events of the weekend. And then we'll get into some how the teams are performing, look a little bit at what we're anticipating leading up to the postseason and how we might be focusing on that and a few of the newer things happening. So once again, sit back and enjoy. Homecoming begins on Friday. Maybe it began before for other people, but it begins on Friday with the Paul R. Yoder Senior Golf Classic, a golf tournament sponsored by the Loyal Royals, which is one of their major fundraising events. And so we're very, very busy in preparing for it. And we got a good turnout. I don't have quite as many sponsors as we had last time. Economy's a little tough, and we just get so busy that we weren't able to contact a lot of people. So that kicks off. We've got special things going on. Eric Kratz will be there, and he's going to play number 17 with everybody. He also told me that he's going to bring a bat along, one of his Eric Kratz bats, and we'll give that away in a drawing of some sort.
Not to golf with.
Right. So that's the question. Which can he hit the further? Right. Can he hit a golf ball with a bat further? I was going to have him start on hole 1 or 10 and hit the long drive, and he said it would be fun to just go out there and crank it as hard as you can. But he said, I also like the idea of being able to go after a hole-in-one 18 times or whatever number of groups come through. So that should be a special time. Of course, this is the first golf team. They will be out there represented. They'll have some golf apparel. So there's a number of really special features. We've got a special giveaway that we're going to do with a round of golf for a couple of people with Eric and with President Schwarzentruber and the commissioner of the ODAC, Brad Bankston, at a very special new exclusive club down in Roanoke. So it should be a good day. We're looking forward to it. And then the donor banquet occurs that evening. Saturday morning, we kick things off with the Hall of Honor breakfast, Eric Kratz being inducted, as you know, and the 1980 field hockey team. Just a couple of responses I've gotten from that field hockey team as I've watched emails come through and communications with Sandy Brown's come. They're really excited about coming back, and you're helping them, I think, get together the display that's there. But, boy, some of the emails, there's one lady, and I'm sorry, I can't think of her name, coming from Montana, I believe. First time back since she left. In whatever, I don't know if she was a senior then, 1980-81. Just phenomenal. What kinds of impressions have you had as you've listened and heard them put together their display that we're going to put up on the wall?
Yeah, you're definitely right. They're very excited. They're very honored by it. And it's interesting when you look at it. You might say, their overall record that year was 10-10. So some of them might be saying, like, you know, why us? Why are we getting put in? And the interesting thing is just how they improved throughout the year. It was, I think, 23 girls were on the roster. They had 3 seniors and 1 junior, and the rest were underclassmen. So, I mean, they got better as they went along. But for this field hockey team, this was the first time they went to a national tournament. And, I mean, starting in 1980, it just steamrolled from there. So we look at this team, and to us, this is the team that kind of kicked off the field hockey program. And for a couple of decades, EMU field hockey, or EMC field hockey, was a national name. So this, to us, this is a team that kicked off that era of just being a national powerhouse. And you're right. You're very right. They're very excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to get them back here. Normally, we have our breakfast, and, you know, we have about 50, maybe 60 people in attendance. You know, the inductees can bring a couple family members, et cetera, et cetera. We got 100 people coming this time. part of that is just we inducted a team and not an individual. But certainly it's fun to see all that excitement. And we've talked about it before, but I think this Hall of Honor breakfast is one of the most fulfilling things that we do, because we let the players that we induct kind of tell their story. They don't have to rattle off their stats. We do that ahead of time. They can just tell about their experience, and hearing their experience is so much fun. And so it's going to be even more exciting, I think, to have an entire team in there, or at least those who can make it, and hear some thoughts from the captains from that team and just be able to talk with them.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I got a few emails too saying, why us? And we had to explain, you set the bar, set the standard. There's no doubt about it. And we followed after that. The other thing about it is that I've noticed, and we usually try to keep the if they write their comments down, we keep them in a file for testimonials later. And the one thing that is really observant to me over the years is, for some of them, it seems like it's maybe the first, or they don't think a lot about how their college athletic experience impacts their life now, because it's just something of the past. But when they do this, I think they get a renewed vision for what that experience was like and how that did help shape them. Even if it was the friendships they made, if it was the relationship to the coach. And so to bring them to come back again and celebrate that, and that may be one of the important pieces, because as we've talked many times, our purpose is to make sure that the experiences that they're having help shape who they are when they're later on in their adult life. Mm-hmm. But how does that actually flesh itself out with them? How do we do that? So I think this opportunity gives all of them a chance to think through that and to say, hey, this is what was important to us. And here's how. I remember some of them that have just said, remember the one, I can't think of her name right now, field hockey player who talked about how she suddenly looks back and realizes how everything that she was experiencing on a field hockey team, she's putting in place as a mother of three children.
Yeah, I remember that.
And to apply that and then also to the workplace. So that'll kick off the morning. They've added a feature a couple years ago, which is a major kickoff of homecoming. That's at 10:30 in Lehman Auditorium.
A festive gathering.
A festive gathering, it's called. And our Hall of Honor inductees will be introduced there at least. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to all of the sports activities, including, I think, alumni baseball game starts first, and Eric Kratz will not be playing. Just wanted to make sure that was clear. Our coach, Ben Spott, said, no, you're not allowed to play. He said he doesn't want it to, and he doesn't want to be the cause of something that happens in the off season right away. So it kicks off there, and then women's volleyball and field hockey, I believe.
Women's soccer.
Women's soccer volleyball and women's volleyball at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yep.
Field hockey at
4
and men's soccer at 7.
7:30.
7:30. Yep. All of them will have the parents introduced beforehand. And then at the men's soccer, 7:30, there will be a special event in which we will honor the 1998 men's soccer team, which won the ODAC and made it to the Sweet 16, which has become the level at which we unfurl the large banners that hang up in the gym for any team that has made it at least that far. So that was postponed from earlier, but that's a special time. And then, of course, we'll wrap up on Sunday with a worship service as well. So it's a great time for you to come back. One added feature we just put in talking to Eric Kratz is from 4:15 until 5. Eric will be available in the president's reception room, which is on the second floor of the Commons, as sort of a meet and greet if you want to hear him talk a little bit about what it's like to be a professional or the Philadelphia Phillies or his status. We thought it would be a great opportunity for people so he doesn't have to repeat, answer the same questions 10 times.
Right.
And if you really want an autograph, he'd be happy to do that. So that's a special feature we've added. So that's the weekend. Lost in that is some of the importance of some of the games and what they might mean to us. Some of our non-conference, but catch us up to date on what's been happening the last week in the sports teams themselves.
Yeah, I think probably the most exciting thing that we've had over the last week or so, men's soccer, in a very exciting road win. There's just so many different angles to talk about this. So Wednesday night there at Randolph-Macon, and I think one really fun thing was freshman Christian Ryan had his first career hat trick. He scored all three goals for the guys, including one in overtime to get the 3-2 win over the Yellow Jackets. So exciting for him. He had a great game. He scored four goals over the last three games now. And it's exciting to see him kind of taking off. He's actually among the conference leaders in goals scored. I think he has 8 on the year. I believe that was 3rd after last night. So that is just really exciting to see one of our freshman guys taking off so much and adjusting to the college game. But the crazy thing about the men's soccer standings, and I was talking with Coach Roger Mast a bit this morning about it as well, there's just so much parity in the men's soccer side. I mean, you can talk about the National Football League and how much parity there is there, but there are 12 teams in the ODAC men's soccer setup, and I think it's easy to say there's two teams that are kind of below other teams. Mm-hmm. So that's down to 10 teams. Well, those other 10 teams, I mean, there's some that are probably a little better than others, but generally any of those 10 teams can beat any of the other ones on any given night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much parity. The guys, I believe, were 7th heading into Wednesday's game. They won. They ended up in 4th place at the end of the day. and I think, one more win and they could be all the way back up in first. The first place team, Bridgewater, lost 5-0 to, I think, the 8th place team last Wednesday night. And so there's just so much that can happen there. And I love to look at, the standings and how the postseason might shape up and, which four teams get to host and all that. I think with men's soccer, like it's it sounds so cliche, but I mean, it's going to come down to the last week and probably the last night. You know, if somebody wins, they can go from third place to sixth place and go from a home game to a road game and all sorts of crazy things. That the men's soccer is just so, so balanced, and a lot can really happen there. And so that's been a lot of fun to watch. Field hockey had a really tough loss at Roanoke. They were shut out for just the second time this year. They haven't scored a ton, but they find ways to get goals in most games and just couldn't get their shots to fall at Roanoke. So it was their first loss to the Maroons in about a decade, I think. Roanoke was promoting that, of course. I saw that on their website. Right. But so I think that loss, it might hurt our women when we look at these postseason standings. Only the top six teams make it in field hockey. And so the women still have games against some of those teams right around them, so they still kind of control their own destiny for getting into the playoffs. But whether or not they get a host, I think that loss to Roanoke might hurt them an awful lot come that quarterfinal round.
Mm-hmm. So. Sure. Well, we are looking forward to the postseason, of course, seeing some that whether we'll host or not, one of the big events that we'll have on the opening day of the postseason is hosting the ODAC cross-country meet. I just met yesterday with some of the ODAC officials, and we are involving the Special Olympics, which is a special partnership that Division III has done with Special Olympics. We're continuing that this year. And so we were out there meeting. We're going to have one of the Special Olympians from the local area recite the pledge, and then also the Special Olympics pledge, and then they are going to run with a torch, carry a torch and bring it up to the start. So they're going to be involved and be involved in the photo ops, and it's a great opportunity for us to interact with them. We'll have them here on campus a lot more. So we're going to kick off that. We've got to host that, so we're taking care of a lot of things there. And hopefully that later that day on Saturday, we'll be able to host something else. But again, it's going to come down right to the very end, I'm sure of that. And so everybody's trying to sort of figure out where they're going to fit in there. And you're right, men's soccer is going to be very competitive right to the end. I think field hockey is trying to hang on. I don't know if women's soccer and women's volleyball have officially been eliminated, but more than likely they will not go on to the postseason, but they want to finish it strong. And as I mentioned already, there's a great soccer has about 20 recruits coming in this weekend. So there's some teams are bringing other recruits in, so they're getting started with that. Men's basketball, women's basketball start.
It's
on
here.
Monday,
yeah,
6:30
practice
6:30 in the morning, so that certainly increases the use of the gym, and it gets the coaches into full speed ahead. So that adds to the stress level of everybody as well as the excitement level as we start to near that. But let's not lose sight of the fall sports that are wrapping up theirs, and they want to wrap it up. One of the things that we really want to make sure we focus on is just because someone hasn't or isn't going to qualify for the postseason, we don't neglect them. Mm-hmm. Those kids' experience is the same. They're working hard to improve. We'd like to take the bigger view of the whole thing. I know that spectators easily get caught up in what happened this week or what happened this season. We look at it in a much broader perspective than that. We can't get caught up in just this. We're always trying to develop and grow. And so we talk about how to do some of that, both in the recruiting process, in how do we continue to develop, strengthen our program. So it is a time at which I don't want us to lose sight of everybody's experiences, even though by nature in sports we tend to all focus on the postseason, as is happening now within the baseball realm. And so you got a lot of hype about that. Football is still always going to be football. We get caught up in some of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So let's try to keep the balance there and try to stay focused on everybody's experience, because everybody's working as hard as the next person is. So, well, thanks for tuning in to our podcast this week. We will talk to you next week on the other side of homecoming, give you a little bit more of an update. The postseason will start to shake itself out a little bit there, give you an update on the opening of the basketball practice season, et cetera. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you can make it around this weekend for homecoming, any of the activities you'd like to, or stop out and see a game and make sure you get the postseason games on your schedule for us. So until we talk again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.